Well, a warm welcome along to Mark Langdon's Bets Club. It's Warren Ashurst and Mark Langdon with you again this week. And we're in association with freesupertips.com for your home of daily football hackers and bet builders. And before we look at Mark's selections for the weekend of Premier League action ahead, let's have a look back at what happened in the Champions League this week, Mark, with two cracking semi-finals that are really evenly poised. Let's start with the big one, so to speak, Bayern Munich against Real Madrid. 2-2, and do you see it like many people that Real Madrid have the edge with that second leg to come at the Bernabeu?
Yeah, I think so, Warren. I think over the balance of play, Bayern Munich, if there was to be a winner, it should have been them at 2-1. I felt like they were the team more likely to go on and get the next goal, and then Kim gives away a really cheap penalty, and Vinicius levelled up the tie. I think that home advantage is a big one because you've not only got the 90 minutes, you've potentially got 120 minutes at home to try to get the job done. And we know that it's going to be a hostile environment for Bayern to go into. And don't feel like Real Madrid will be as passive in that home game as what they were at the Allianz. From Bayern Munich's point of view, they left their Bundesliga form behind them. They played well. I thought most facets of their game looked in order, particularly in those forward lines. You know, Harry Kane dropping deep, linking the play for Muller and Sane. And, you know, Musiala was one of the best players on the pitch. It's just defensively big concerns over them. The fact that Eric Dier at the moment is their most reliable centre-back might say something about some of the other guys alongside him. And just that Vinicius Rodrigo, Jude Bellingham can't play as badly. I thought he was very quiet. That slight concern for Gareth Southgate, maybe that Ancelotti thinks that he's tired at the moment and wasn't fully fit. Hopefully he can get fully fit for the Euros. But yeah, I would edge towards Real Madrid because once again, they weren't the better team and yet they sort of managed to not lose the game.
And the other one, obviously on Wednesday evening, saw Borussia Dortmund against Paris Saint-Germain. A slender lead for the Germans to take to Paris in the second leg. Is that going to be enough?
I would fancy PSG to be able to overturn that. They've only got to win the game in 90 minutes and then you take it to at least extra time. I thought it was a brilliant game. Slightly slow start, as you'd expect, with so much riding on it. But second half, I mean, now it's finished 1-0. They just never know, really. PSG at the inside of both posts missed some good chances. Dortmund missed some good chances. It was a fantastic game. I think it highlighted that both teams have got flaws and would be underdogs in the final. But I've also got players in those forward positions that can make a difference and potentially cause problems if they get through to the final. I'd say it was a fair enough result over the course of the 90 minutes that Dortmund won, but it is only a slender advantage. From the very start of the tournament, we tipped Paris Saint-Germain to win it around about 14 or 16 to 1. And I remain hopeful that we can get at least the each way up.
I mean, you mentioned about players standing out, Mark. Jadon Sancho in particular had an outstanding game. Is it coming too late for him to be involved in the Euros, do we think?
Well, he hasn't got to get on the plane, has he? Because he's already in Germany. So you've done well to resist that bit. Should he be on the plane? I think it is too late for a manager like Southgate, who I would say is safety first in terms of who he wants in his squad. I don't mean that necessarily in the way that he plays, although a lot of people do think that of Southgate. But he never seemed to fully trust in Sancho, even when he was playing well before. He was in the squad, but when there were big calls for him to play, he never sort of bowed to that. And I don't know if Sancho kind of would be ready for that England environment. He's very comfortable at Borussia Dortmund. I don't know what his relationship's like at England. He's never really played that well for England. It's been more like the Manchester United Sancho, hasn't it, when he's played for England. But that performance last night was brilliant. He just took Nuno Mendes on every single time he got the ball. Absolutely fantastic. And I'm not expecting Ten Hag to be the Manchester United manager next season. You would hope that whoever sort of replaces him is able to get the best out of Sancho, because I think it'd be a massive shame for Manchester United if they let go of a talent like that. I mean, they're not good enough to let go of a talent like that. So they need to find a way to harness you know, that whatever he's got at Borussia Dortmund,
yeah,
he should be able to be able to take forward another club. But I don't think I'd be in a rush to take him to the England squad. I think that there are enough players that can fill those positions.
We're going to have a look at domestic matters in a moment or so's time. And just to give you a quick heads up that Dan Childs will be joining us later to look ahead to the final day of the Championship season and the playoffs, of course, beginning in the EFL in League One and League Two. But first up, Mark, we'll be looking at the Premier League and we'll start off with a big match of the weekend. So the standout fixture then in the Premier League on Saturday is Manchester City against Wolves at 5:30, with City, of course, pushing hard to win that fourth consecutive Premier League title in a row under Pep Guardiola. And in terms of the prices for Saturday's clash at the Etihad, Manchester City are as short as around about 1-12, the draw 11-1, and Wolves around about 20-1. We praised Wolves earlier in the season, Mark, of the way that they played. And to be honest with you, if you said at the start of the season they'd be where they are now, I think Gary O'Neill would have snapped your hand off. But with nothing really to play for now for Wolves going into this match, it's, I suppose, hard to see past City.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at those prices, you know, it's it shows the kind of task that Wolves have got. I mean, we had a decision to make, didn't we, over which was the one to do for the big match. Was it Arsenal against Bournemouth? Was it Man City against Wolves? I think the fact that City are favourites means for the title, I think, means that we have to sort of focus on them for the time being. We couldn't do Liverpool v Tottenham because Spurs are playing Chelsea tonight before we speak. So, you know, so much could change there. So we've landed on Man City v Wolves. I think from a, you know, I think if we're talking realistically, City and Arsenal probably both win this weekend, and it's as you were kind of, you know, going into the next lap of this Premier League season. But I do think that Wolves are a team that we know can cause problems for Manchester City, because they've done it in the past, as recently as this season. They won the reverse fixture at Molineux. I remember, was it under Nuno? They did the double, didn't they, over Manchester City one season. So I think Gary O'Neill likes to test himself in these type of matches. And Wolves have got some of the ingredients that you need, I think, to be able to beat Manchester City. And that's to defend well and then to counter-attack quickly. The problem is that if someone like Pedro Neto, you know, to not have him sort of fully fit is a blow for a match like this, because he is somebody that can run beyond the fullback. And, you know, Cunha is very clever in the way that he sort of picks the ball up and can dribble, and a very unconventional forward in sort of his skill set. And he's somebody, if he's fully fit, might be able to cause Man City some issues. And Huang has got that pace on the counter-attack. So I don't think it's going to be an absolute sort of roll them over job for Manchester City, but probably one that they will be able to, you know, get the job done at some stage.
I mean, I suppose most football fans looking at the title race as it is at the moment, Mark, would edge towards City, mainly because of their experience as well as the quality, of course, in the squad. But that performance against Forest last week will give both Wolves and Arsenal a little bit of hope, because there were chances for Forest in that game.
There were, yeah, probably more than Pep Guardiola would have liked to have seen, and Forest weren't good enough to take advantage on the day. I mean, you're looking at City's sort of remaining fixtures, and like you go, Wolves at home, yeah, they're probably going to win that one. They've got West Ham at home on the final day, probably going to win that one. Fulham away, slightly tricky task, but again, one that you would expect them to win. So it's probably going to come down to that game, I would say, at White Hart Lane, as I still like to call it, that they've got in the final week of the season against Tottenham on that Tuesday night. The atmosphere is just going to be so odd, because assuming that the game doesn't mean huge amounts for Tottenham and they might be out of the top four race by then, there's not going to be many people inside that stadium that would want sort of Tottenham to beat Manchester City and potentially hand Arsenal the title. So Arsenal have just got to hope that something drops their way and they complete the job. I think that having got past Spurs, that they now are in a really good position to finish the season with a run of victories that makes City sort of retain honesty in the title race, keep them going until the end. But circumstances probably dictate that, you know, that game for City at Tottenham's not as difficult as it might have been had it taken place a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Manchester City against Wolves then, the standout fixture, 5:30 on Saturday. What's your best bet for this, Mark?
I'm going to go for Man City to win and under 3.5 goals, just around about 10 to 11. If you have a look at City, they've only conceded 2 goals in their last 5 games. And they look like they've got that mentality at the moment to just get the job done. They don't need to be overly positive. I think we saw a sort of less cavalier City against Forest than what you maybe would have done earlier on in the campaign. And if they get their noses in front and potentially go 2, I don't see them sort of pushing the boat out to get 3 or 4. Goal difference, I'd say, is too much of a obstacle for them to claw back now against Arsenal. And it's probably not that important anyway, if you have a look at sort of the makeup of the point. So just get the win, get out of there and get ready for the next game. That's how I'm seeing sort of City taking it, and Wolves not being at full strength, unable to do a job on City.
Well, that's Mark's thoughts then on the clash at the Etihad. Time now to look at the rest of the Premier League fixtures. Well, we'll start off then by looking ahead to the action on Friday evening, as Kenilworth Road is the venue for Luton against Everton at 8 o'clock kickoff. Prices are around about 31-20 for Luton to claim the 3 points. Everton 8-5 and the draw around 13-5. A couple of weeks ago, Mark, this would have been seen as a massive 6-pointer. Not so much this time now.
No, Everton have done fantastically well to get themselves out of trouble. You know, they've had 2 points deductions this season. Goodness knows what's going on in the background. Sort of more stories about issues, you know, of a financial nature for them to sort of battle past, even as we speak now. So you're not quite sure what the future for the Toffees is, but what you do know is that under Sean Dyche, they're going to be honest, well-organised defensively. And I actually thought that they'd be shorter to win this game against Luton. I know that there's more riding on it now for Luton than what there is for Everton, but I'm going to go for Everton, draw no bet. I don't see them easing up at the moment. They've kept 4 clean sheets in their last 5 matches. And we've praised Luton a lot, and some of it was rightly so, because there was a spell just after Christmas when they looked like they were getting their act together. They now had a load of injuries. I know some of them players are now returning, but they've got 5 points from their last 13 Premier League games. And I think Everton should be favourites here, so and sort of shorter than what they are. The draw always feels like it's a runner with Everton, because they don't score that many goals, but they might not need to sort of work that hard for their opportunities, because Luton's so leaky. So I'm going to go for Everton, draw no bet.
Just a very quick word on Sean Dyche and the job that he's done, Mark, at Everton. I mean, as you say, all sorts going on behind the scenes. He's had some week, because obviously, you know, beating Liverpool in the derby and then sealing a place in the Premier League for next season. He's even in the new video for the Blossoms' new single as well. So he's everywhere at the moment. But, you know, you can't blame him for that, because it's been an outstanding job he's done.
He's enjoying himself, isn't he? That new tracksuit he seems to be wearing as well. I've noticed he's ditched the suit in favour of the tracksuit. Maybe a sign of the times with the weather getting warmer. He has done a good job. There was a spell for them, actually, wasn't there, when they went sort of double-figure. It was about 11, 12 matches, wasn't it, without a victory. And I suppose there was a certain amount of pressure growing on him. And that's always going to be the case, because the football's not the prettiest. And so when you don't win and you don't get results, there's always people wondering if there's a sort of better way of doing it. But for the situation and the position that Everton have been in this season, all what they've had to deal with off the pitch, I don't think that there's too many people that could have done a better job, and too many people sort of better suited to just making sure that the players are focused on the job in hand. And he's very good at what he does.
Let's turn our attentions then now to Saturday's matches. You've already sort of hinted towards what you think about the early kickoff on Saturday, Mark. It's Arsenal against Bournemouth at the Emirates at 12:30. Arsenal around about 1-5. Bournemouth 17-2 and the draw 7-1. Is it going to be a straightforward home win, do you think?
I think it will be. Over 3.5 goals, I think, is a good play. You could sort of bet Arsenal and over 3.5 goals if you want to enhance the price. But Bournemouth, away to the top 5, all of their games have been over 3.5 goals. They lost 3-1 at Liverpool, Villa and Tottenham, and 6-1 at Man City. And it's the way they play, isn't it, under Iraola? They will press opponents. They'll go for it. They might score a goal. They've got some good players going forward. Solanke's had a fantastic season as an example. And they thumped Brighton last week. And they've almost become the new Brighton, haven't they, in the way that they want to play. And from that point of view, they are dangerous in terms of scoring a goal. But they're wide open at the back. And Arsenal have become sort of very good at putting away teams that will sort of step up and try to play against them. And I just see too many sort of weaknesses in that Bournemouth back line to be able to keep Arsenal out. And another area that Arsenal are good is at set pieces as well. So good at set pieces, you know, got a lot of quality on the pitch as well in terms of open play. Yeah, so it should be an entertaining game, but one that Arsenal win comfortably enough.
There are just the 3 o'clock games in the Premier League on Saturday, and we'll start off by looking ahead to the clash between Brentford and Fulham. Brentford 11-10 or around that to claim the victory. Fulham around 11-5 and the draw 14-5. I have to say, I find this a very difficult game to call, Mark.
Yeah, I was speaking to a Fulham fan yesterday who claimed that they're giving up, and the end of the season is just going to be a bit of a slog for them. I disagree, really. I'm going to go for Fulham to win this game. They're an inconsistent side, but they're very dangerous. They've won 4 of their last 10 Premier League matches. That includes victories over Manchester United and Tottenham. Not perfect teams, but, you know, sides that are, you know, challenging at the right end of the table. And they are capable side, Fulham. Not the sort of team you want to be backing at shorter prices. And I'd say the same about Brentford. And, I agree, it's not an easy one to call, but I'll let the prices dictate the bet and just go for the outsiders.
Another of the 3 o'clock games is at Turf Moor, and this could be huge for Burnley's battle to try and avoid the drop as they play host to Newcastle. Burnley around about 5-2 to claim the victory. Newcastle 19-20 and the draw 3-1. Newcastle, I watched their game with Sheffield United last week, and they absolutely tore the Blades apart in the second half. But you feel like Burnley have really got a bit of impetus at the moment, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a kind of upset here. I'm going to go for Burnley to win. One defeat in 8 feels massive, because the fact that Nottingham Forest have got Sheffield United this weekend, and we'll get on to that game next. I mean, Vincent Kompany will be adding 3 points on to that Forest tally. So Burnley, I think, need to match that, because they've got Tottenham away next week, but they've got Nottingham Forest on the final day of the season at home. If they can stay within 2 points of Forest, they basically turn that game into a cup final. And I am going to do a shameless name drop here, but I was speaking to Nedim Anua, former Man City and QPR defender earlier on this week, and he's good friends with Vincent Kompany. We were discussing Burnley, and He was sort of, I suppose, just saying really what, I mean, most people would assume, that they are actually getting better. And if they were starting the season now, they'd be, be able to sort of put up a better fight. They got promoted almost too soon. I don't think it was in the plan for them to get promoted as easily as they did. And then they weren't maybe ready for the Premier League, even though they'd done so well in the Championship. The message seems to be getting through now. Like I say, 1 defeat in 8. Newcastle, very good at home. Less trustworthy, I would say, away from home. It was only sort of the other midweek they got turned over by Crystal Palace and didn't play well at all. A lot riding on the game for both teams. Newcastle pushing for Europe. Burnley fighting to stay in the division. And yeah, I just give Burnley a better chance than the odds suggest.
We talk about must-win games quite a lot at this stage of the season, but surely Nottingham Forest's trip to Bramall Lane is a much-needed 3 points ahead, you'd think, for Nuno Espirito Santo's team. Sheffield United already relegated, around about 15-4 to win. The draw 16-5, and Forest around 13-20. Are Forest going to pick up that much-needed win, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to speak to me in old numbers sometimes. I'm sort of, they're about 4-6, I think, Forest. And do you know what? I mean, back in Nottingham Forest at 4-6 to win Premier League matches is not going to be for everyone. I actually felt they might have been shorter to win this game than 13-20 or 4-6 or whatever you around about those odds. Look, Sheffield United are relegated. They've been hopeless defensively all season. Chris Wilder, don't think has improved them, or certainly not to the extent that he would have hoped to have done. So there was a small bit of fight, wasn't there, in them when he first came in. But more recent weeks, they lost a similar game to Burnley a couple of weeks ago and were thumped in that game. And you alluded it to it earlier on. I thought Forest played well against Manchester City, created some opportunities, competed very well in sort of most aspects of the game. And we're just done by, well, it was a set piece, wasn't it, that sort of opened the scoring. And then, and that has been an Achilles heel for Forest all season. Second goal when they're chasing it, Haaland finishes it off. But I think if Forest play like they did in that game, this is one that they can win. And I don't think they've been as far off as the results suggest. You know, Howard Webb came out, didn't he, and said, that they should have had a penalty at Goodison. I don't want to get the violins out because, they've kind of done that for themselves on refereeing decisions this season and in recent weeks. If Forest maintain sort of recent standards, I think they win the game. So I'm going to go for an away win.
Let's turn our attentions now to the action on Sunday. Two games at 2 o'clock and one at 4:30. And we'll start off by looking ahead to the 2 o'clock games. And the first one on the list is the Amex Stadium clash between Brighton and Aston Villa. Brighton around about 19-10 to win. Villa 13-10 and the draw around 11-4. We're recording this, of course, before Aston Villa's Europa Conference League semi-final first leg against Olympiacos. Will that have an impact maybe, Mark, on Sunday's game?
I thought it was very interesting that Unai Emery said that Champions League and sort of so therefore finishing in the top four was the number one target. And so you have to take him at his word and suggest that maybe it won't be an absolutely full strength team that Aston Villa can select against Olympiacos. I think it will have an impact. Fans are excited about a European semi-final. We don't know the score and kind of what Unai Emery might need to do in terms of that second leg in Greece. And I think that the biggest problem is that they're just running out of players. Aston Villa, injuries and suspensions have taken their toll, and they were fortunate, I felt, to get a point against Chelsea, not just because of that debatable VAR disallowed goal in the last minute. Actually, the way they played. Chelsea, the nap last week was Aston Villa draw no better. I was absolutely delighted to get my money back because I thought Chelsea dominated most of that game. And you do have to wonder about fatigue. And I can see Unai Emery in this game against Brighton just not playing that aggressively and being quite conservative. And that's what I'm going for, under 3.5 goals in the game. I think Emery would think that a point's a decent result in terms of, what Tottenham have got left and just looking to maintain that gap between the two teams. And Brighton have fallen off a cliff. 5 goals in their last 12 matches. So I'm going to go for under 3.5 goals in this game. I mean, the Premier League's been full of goals this season. And the line has almost jumped in a lot of instances. It used to be 2.5. Now we've moved up to 3.5. I just wonder if it's gone too far.
Well, Chelsea, of course, are in action on Thursday as well against Tottenham. And of course, we're recording this before that game. But they're also in home action against West Ham at 2 o'clock on Sunday as well. Chelsea around about 4-6 to win the game, 7-2 West Ham, and also the draw around 7-2 as well. Is this going to be more home success for Mauricio Pochettino?
I think they'll win the game. Yeah, I'm going to go for Chelsea and over 2.5 goals. Some of their recent home wins, 6-0 against Everton, 4-3 Man United, 3-2 against Newcastle. They are looking better in the final third, still don't make the most of all of their opportunities, but they're creating enough to beat West Ham, I would say. Just defensively, you just can't be mad on them. They still make too many mistakes. They are unable to stop teams from counter-attacking against them. And West Ham are good on the counter-attack. Kudos, Bowen, Paquetar, Antonio as well. So there's a threat from West Ham on the break. So Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals.
Anfield is the venue for the 4:30 game on Sunday. Two teams who, well, earlier in the season were being lauded for the way that their campaigns had gone so far, but looking to almost fall off the rails at the moment, Mark, as Liverpool take on Tottenham. Liverpool around about 1-2 to claim the 3 points. Spurs as big as 4-1 and the draw around 9-2. How do you see this one going between two, you would argue, out-of-form teams?
I'll flip it the other way, Warren. You're a Liverpool fan. Let's start with you. What have you made of... how much blame sort of goes to Klopp or to the players, or if they just kind of, this is who they are and they're kind of mask has fallen. What's your thoughts on Liverpool?
I feel very sorry for Jurgen Klopp because I feel in a way like the players have let him down a little bit. Certainly some of the senior players in the last few weeks. And, you know, I admit that the whole announcement of him leaving didn't necessarily help the cause when you look back in hindsight now, but there was no other way that he could have done it without it being leaked previously. But I think in recent games, some of the high profile names, the performances have just not been up to scratch. And, you know, that was highlighted at West Ham last week where they did well to fight back from 1-0 down to get themselves 2-1 in front and then to let another goal in from Mikel Antonio towards the end. It was mightily frustrating. And I think it's a big ask now for them to just flip a coin and then put in another performance against a Tottenham team that, you know, need the points still if they are going to have any chance of getting into the top four. I just don't see Liverpool being able to flick a switch.
Yeah, I certainly think that, you know, Salah's not performed the last couple of months. Nunez has obviously missed his chances.
Yeah,
some of it's slightly unfortunate, but you can't keep missing opportunities and it always be bad luck. For once, Jurgen Klopp can't complain about kind of the way the fixtures have fallen here because, yeah, they've had a 3 week to prepare for the game. Spurs will have played twice since Liverpool were last in action, including, you know, a couple of London derbies and some tense ones at that in terms of the emotions that run between the fans in terms of Spurs Arsenal and then Spurs Chelsea. And I'm going to go here, though, for a complete weakness that Tottenham have got and try and play on that. I'm going to go for Virgil van Dijk, first goal scorer, 25-1 each way. If you look at Tottenham and the goals that they've conceded from, you know, corners and sort of free kicks that have been crossed in recent weeks, it's not good enough. There were two against Arsenal. There was one against Newcastle, one against West Ham, one against Wolves. Everton got two at the start of February. At the back end of January, they were knocked out of the FA Cup from a set piece in the last minute by Manchester City as well. They're not able to deal with it at the moment. Ange Postecoglou, I don't know, he doesn't seem to think it's that big a deal, but I mean, everybody is targeting the same area and putting balls into that position and blocking off Vicario, who I'm not blaming him because I think it's up to the defenders to protect him and sort of put somebody, you see loads of other teams that put a defender between the goalkeeper and that blocker now, and Spurs are not doing it. Liverpool, we know, have got sort of set-piece analysts that have been very good at their jobs. They were one of the kind of leading beacons, weren't they, for sort of that sort of analysis when they brought in the long coach, the long throw coach for, they were mocked at the time and then they started scoring goals from it. Tottenham haven't got a set-piece coach and I think they'll be exposed in this game against Liverpool. Agree it's a difficult one to kind of work out and pick through, but definitely Liverpool have got an advantage at those set pieces and Van Dijk's a danger from them too.
Yeah, and as I said before, if Liverpool and Tottenham fans had been told at the start of the season they'd finish where they are at the moment, they'd have snapped your hand off, I dare say.
We haven't even mentioned, though, Warren, that controversial reverse fixture.
Yes, exactly. It seems like about 3 years ago now, doesn't it?
We've done well. Probably the only preview of Liverpool and Tottenham that went that long without mentioning that goal and those red cards.
Yeah, and you wouldn't bet against there being some more controversy on Sunday, I'm sure. Monday's game finishes off the week of Premier League action and it takes place at Selhurst Park. And Palace fans have probably been a bit concerned a couple of months ago that they weren't really seeing some signs of improvement under Oliver Glasner, but that's changed over the last 2 or 3 weeks. They are 7-5 to beat Manchester United. United themselves around 7-4 to claim the victory, the draw 11-4. How do you see this one going, Mark?
I think it's absolutely amazing. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I just think it's amazing that Manchester United are outsiders against Crystal Palace. Like that, that just shouldn't happen, should it? It shows how far United have fallen, that it's what they've become. And the fact is, I wouldn't want to back them as outsiders. But I think their problems are being sort of fully highlighted in the prices. So I'm going to go for the draw in this game. I wanted to oppose United, but yeah, the bookmakers know they're bad. That's why they're outsiders at Selhurst Park. And if you have a look at it, United have drawn 6 of their last 8 games in normal time as well. They've had some very dramatic FA Cup ties that have gone beyond 90 minutes. But in normal time, they have drawn 6 of their last 8. And doesn't feel that dissimilar a game in terms of sort of levels to when they went to Bournemouth a couple of weeks ago and got that 2-2 draw. They're a chaotic side. I mean, we've said it sort of for most of this season. Not entirely sure what the plan is. Crystal Palace are a threat, and when Eze and Elise are there, and you always fancy them more. And Mateta is playing almost the form of his life, isn't he, at the moment? So I think Palace have got a good chance of winning, but I just didn't like the price. That's why I've gone for the draw. I can see a fair few goals in this game. Couldn't put anybody off something like a 2-2.
Mm. Well, that's Mark's thoughts then on the weekend's Premier League action. Mark will be back a little bit later on with his player props, treble, nap, and also just a roundup of how everything may well go this weekend and for the remainder of the season. But up next, it's time to speak to Dan Charles to discuss everything EFL with the final day of the Championship season and the playoffs in League One and League Two. Well, I'm delighted to say I've been joined by Dan Charles now to look ahead to what promises to be an absolute cracking weekend of EFL action. We'll get to the League One and League Two playoffs, Dan, in a moment, but we'll start off with the Championship. Final day to look forward to, things to be decided at both the top and bottom ends of the table. Let's start off at the top end, shall we, and just have a quick discussion about that battle for the second automatic promotion spot. Ipswich in the box seat, Leeds hoping for a slip up, but it looks like it could be back-to-back promotions for the Tractor Boys.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a fan of Ipswich, it's just only natural that with one game to go, you're just going to be telling yourself, oh, something can go wrong. We're going to have a player sent off in the first minute and a penalty given away, that kind of thing goes through your head. But really, when you look at it, soberly, they've been outstanding for most of the season. Really, really strong at home. That crowd behind them often, you know, play higher tempo, get off the fast starts, and you can't see anything other really than a home win here. I mean, they only need a point, but I'm sure they'll get on the front foot. Huddersfield, mathematically, they're not down actually yet, but they would, you know, realistically they are. I mean, the goal difference turnaround they would need is absolutely huge. So, you know, they're going into the game on a real downer, effectively relegated to League One. Ipswich, as I said, seem to be getting it together at the right time. One at Coventry, you know, in the week, got a good point at Hull last weekend. I think they'll finish the job. I don't think it'll be a draw. I think they'll win the game comfortably.
At the other end, it's still a battle on to see who survives in the Championship for next season. And amongst those battling for survival, Birmingham City, who, well, they've been through this a few times before, not only in the Championship, but the Premier League as well, going down to the final day. It looks like a real tussle, particularly between them and Plymouth, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be one. Birmingham are going to be, you know, one of my tips for this weekend, the main tip to beat Norwich in their final game. Birmingham, as you said, Warren, are so used to this situation. The fans must be absolutely fed up with it. The last 7 seasons, they finished between 17th and 20th in the Championship. It's absolutely incredible. They are the, you know, the archetypal perennial strugglers in the Championship. They've had the new owners. They were hoping to push for the playoffs, weren't they, under Wayne Rooney, but didn't work out. And here we are, you know, Tony Mowbray come in. He then went, you know, had to leave for health issues. Gary Rowett, a former manager, has come in. He has actually, the results haven't been too bad. They're unbeaten in 3 games, Birmingham, but they are below that dotted line, which is, you know, going into the final weekend. They have got 3 teams they're aiming for that they could catch. Blackburn, who go to Leicester, they're catchable if they lose. Sheffield Wednesday away to Sunderland, they're also catchable. And Plymouth, who we'll talk about later, if Plymouth don't win at home to Hull, they're catchable as well. But Birmingham know what they've got to do. They've got to win this game. And I think they can win it. Norwich are technically not short of a playoff spot yet, but it would need a big turnaround, you know, between them and Hull for them not to make it. They're 3 points above Hull and have got 7, a goal difference is 7 better than Hull. So you think that Norwich are virtually home and host for the top 6. Their away record doesn't inspire much confidence, really, if you're a fan of sort of Plymouth and one of the other struggling teams. But Norwich have only won 6 away games. Their away points tally is the lowest, actually, of the top 14 teams in the Championships. They're not good travellers, Norwich. And Birmingham's home form has been their saviour. They've won 9, drawn 6, lost 7 at home. They're a tough team to play at St Andrews, especially when the crowd get up there. It can be quite an intimidating venue. So they won 3-0 in the last home game at home to Coventry, who were chasing the playoffs at the time, putting a real strong performance. I can see them doing something similar and getting the win that may just save their skins.
If they do, there might be a Gary Rowett statue going up outside of St Andrews over the close season. And certainly would breathe a huge sigh of relief, I'm sure, the owners, if Birmingham stay up. So Birmingham fighting for their lives, as are Plymouth, who have only, of course, been back in the Championship for a season. They're at home to Hull. How do you see this one going, Dan?
Well, Plymouth are the team most in danger. If Birmingham win, they would then need to win their game at home to Hull. I can see Plymouth winning this game at home to Hull and saving themselves as well. Plymouth's a bit like Birmingham. Their home form has been the key for them this season. 9 of their 12 wins have come at home. Their last home game, they won at home to Leicester, putting a real dogged battling performance to win that game 1-0. Would have liked to get over the line definitely last weekend. They conceded a late goal away to Mill. Played pretty well there, but lost the game 1-0. But I do think they're overpriced here to win this game at home to Hull. 12-5, given, you know, Plymouth's home form and the recent win at home to Leicester, I think it's a decent price. Hull are going for the playoffs. You know, they're going to try and win their final game and hope that West Brom lose at home to Preston. I'm not sure that's going to happen. West Brom, you would fancy to win that game. And you wonder if news gets through, you know, if West Brom get in front, how that might affect the morale of Hull players, you know, during this game, especially at half-time if they hear that West Brom are in front. So Hull, they have had a little bit of revival recently on a nice little unbeaten run, but I could see that coming to an end here and Plymouth surviving on the final day as well.
So that's going to be squeaky bum time for Blackburn and Sheffield Wednesday, isn't it? If you had to pick one to follow Rotherham and Huddersfield, who do you think it would be?
I actually think Blackburn are at the most risk here. I mean, Leicester did clinch the title on Monday, you know, with their 3-0 win away to Preston, but they can get to 100 points, which is, you know, a milestone that a lot of teams, you know, like to achieve. Probably would have been a bit of partying after they clinched the title, but that was on Monday, so they've had plenty of time, Leicester players, to recover and get up for this final game of the season. They are, you know, a much better team than Blackburn. Blackburn have been kind of struggling to get over the line in their survival bid for a long time, and I'm not so sure that they'll get anything in this game, and I fear for them because I think the other three teams could get results on the final day. I wouldn't be surprised if Sheffield Wednesday get a result at Sunderland, who are on a really, really poor run recently.
The irony won't be lost if John Eustace ends up going down and Birmingham stay up, will it? And often you get stories like that. It's going to be an absolutely cracking end to the Championship season on the final day. We'll turn our attentions now to the League One and League Two playoffs, which start over the course of the next few days. And before Dan gives us his tips as to who he thinks will be promoted, just to remind you who is facing who. In League One, Barnsley are up against Bolton and it's Oxford against Peterborough. Meanwhile, in League Two, Crawley face the MK Dons and Crewe against Doncaster. Let's start in League One though, Dan. And who's your selection here to go up?
I think you've got to go for a bit of value sometimes here. I mean, it's often called, you know, lazily, it's sort of called the end of season lottery, isn't it, the playoffs? I mean, it's not a lottery, you know. Often, you know, a team that plays a better football will come out on top, but you do want a bit of value. And Bolton, for me, I know it's finished third, but 13-8, you know, in a four-horse race, you know, it looks quite short for them to go up. So I'm looking at Oxford at 4-1, and I just think that's quite a good price. I think of the four teams, they've, like, finished probably the best. They've taken 17 points from the last 8 games. They needed to finish well because they kind of had a bad start to the year and were in danger of missing out on the playoffs. They clinched that with a 2-1 win at Inform Exeter last weekend. So that was a real high-pressure situation that they stood up to well. During this recent run they've been on, they've beaten Peterborough 5-0 at home as well, which is significant because they're playing Peterborough, as you've mentioned, Warren, in the semi-finals. So there's a bit of a psychological edge there. Mm-hmm. Peterborough have lost 4 of their last 9 league games, so they're having a real wobble towards the end of the season. I can see Oxford having the home leg first is not ideal, but I can still see them coming through this 2-leg tie. I do feel that they'll probably end up playing Bolton in the final because Barnsley have had a shocking finish to the season, 6 games without a win, even sacked their manager, Neil Collins, before the last game of the season. Martin Devaney is coming as caretaker manager for the last game and for the playoffs. But I'm not so sure it will turn around. I can see Bolton making it to Wembley, but Oxford, for me, are the value to go all the way and win promotion.
And where's the value, do you think, in League Two? I mean, you know, you've got teams that have kind of, I would have said, stumbled across the line probably in Crewe and Crawley, and the MK Dons and Doncaster finishing the season in really good form.
Yeah, well, I mean, Warren, that's the way I'm going to go here. I'm going to go with Doncaster, the form team, to make it 9-4. I mean, their run has been absolutely incredible. They were in March, I think they were 20th, I think I'm right in saying. They've had they won 10 games in a row, then got the point that they needed away to Gillingham on the final day to make sure they finished in the playoffs. Not only have they finished in the playoffs, they actually ended up in fifth place, which means they've got the home leg of their semi-final against Crewe second. I think them getting Crewe is a really favourable draw for them as well. As you mentioned, Warren, Crewe have had a right struggle getting over the line. Have only won one of their last nine games, had a stack load of injuries for quite a few weeks now, Crewe. So I think Doncaster are big favourites to get through that one. Who meets them in the final? I think it could be quite close, actually. MK Dons and Crawley, both very, very good footballing sides, possession-based sides, attractive to watch. Crawley had a bit of a stumble, but they did do the business when they needed to on the final weekend with a good 2-0 win at home to Grimsby. MK Dons, they've been short of the playoffs for a couple of weeks, but I would worry about a bit of a loss of focus with them. They won 5-3 at Harrogate and 4-4 they drew at home to Sutton to concede, you know, that many goals, seven goals in two games going into the playoffs. To me, that's not a really good sign. And Crawley, I would say, may even be valued to come through this semi-final. But overall, Doncaster, the run they're on, I can see him getting past Crewe, and I fancy him to beat whoever they're facing in the final.
And we have to give you credit as well, Dan, because I remember listening to Bet's Club way back earlier in the season when you mentioned how well he played against Everton in the League Cup, Doncaster, and that it was a false position, and they've gone on one heck of a run between now and then to get themselves in the playoffs. But it's going to be a fascinating final, whatever, both at Wembley.
It took a long time coming, hasn't it, Warren? Because I think that was in September, that game I was talking about, and they were still 20th in March. So quite incredible, really, that you know what's happened. But they finally got it together in the end. And I wouldn't be surprised if they went all the way now.
Yeah, certainly the team in form, and that's what you want going into the playoffs. But Dan's selections for promotion, Oxford from the League One playoffs and Doncaster in League Two. Looking forward to a cracking weekend, Dan. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Well, thanks to Dan for that. We're going to turn our attentions now to Mark's player prop, treble and nap for the weekend ahead. And we'll start off firstly with the player prop. What are you looking at here, Mark?
Yeah, I really struggled to find anything bet builder worthy this weekend. A lot of short price favourites that we've already discussed in sort of some of the televised games, the big game Liverpool against Spurs. There's a game on Thursday, so you can't really get involved in that. So I've just narrowed it down to one. I've gone for Michael Olise to have an assist against Manchester United for Crystal Palace. It's, I think, juicily priced at 7-2, given the fact that I think there's going to be a fair few goals in this game and that Crystal Palace have definitely got a chance of getting the majority of them. He's had an assist in four of his last seven starts. Of course, been hampered by injuries all season long. When he plays, big threat.
Yeah, and there's also doubts, of course, over Eze at the moment with his fitness. So Olise becomes even more important for Palace when Eze doesn't play. Let's turn our attentions to the treble now as well, Mark. We're looking also a little bit outside of the Premier League for this.
Yeah, it's getting to that stage of the season when it is difficult to pick out just normal value bets because you get so many prices now are influenced by what teams need to do. And I'm actually feel like there isn't enough of that in a couple of the games that I'm going to speak about. So we're going to start in the Championship, West Brom to beat Preston. West Brom need maximum points to make sure of a spot in the playoffs. And I think Preston, one of those teams that maybe had the deck chairs out. They failed to score in six of their last seven games and were absolutely battered on the stats against Leicester on Monday night. Nottingham Forest to beat Sheffield United. Sheffield already relegated. They've conceded 31 goals in their last nine matches. And this, I'm going to file this under must win for Nuno's side. And then to complete the treble around about 5-1, it's Doncaster to beat Crewe in the first leg of their playoff semi-final in League Two. Donny had won 10 in a row before the draw at Gillingham when they had their goalkeeper sent off when they were 2-0 up. Now he's suspended for this game. But I watched Crewe against Colchester United on the final day of the season. Wasn't impressed at all. They got the point they required to get into the playoffs, but they have limped rather into the final sort of weeks of the season. Doncaster, as Dan Charles already said, you know, he likes them in League Two, and I like them to win this game. So West Brom, Nottingham Forest and Doncaster.
And we'll conclude, Mark, with the nap of the weekend.
Yeah, so it's going to be a double, actually, in the League Two playoffs. I'm going for MK Dons to qualify against Crawley and Doncaster to qualify against Crewe. So the two highest seeds, if you like, to progress through to the final at Wembley. So MK Dons, since Mike Williamson became their manager, they've had 33 games. And if you have a look at the league table in that time, they've got 62 points over those 33 games. That compares very well to the other top teams in League Two. Stockport 66, Wrexham 65, Mansfield 63. So they're almost sort of in line with three teams that have already gone up. And I think three very good teams that don't have much to fear in League One next season. So since Williamson became manager, they are one of the top teams in the division. No doubt about that. And Doncaster, since Christmas, 47 points. Crewe have had 34, so second half of the season. No surprise to anyone that's sort of watched Donny rise through the ranks. I know they were 1,000-1 to be promoted at one stage. You know, so it shows how remarkable their renaissance has been. Had a lot of injuries earlier on in the season. Expect them to beat Crewe. So MK Dons to qualify against Crawley and Doncaster to qualify against Crewe.
And like we say on so many occasions, having that impetus going into the playoffs can well be crucial, of course. And Doncaster and MK Dons seem to have that, while Crawley and Crewe have limped over the line. Just a quick word on it being the final day of the Championship, of course, season, Mark. And then when we hit the playoffs as well, it's that crunch stage of the season. And it's the type of season where, you know, as a neutral, it's fantastic to watch.
Yeah, I'm not a neutral though, Warren. Ipswich need them to be promoted for a few anti-post bets. I mean, you know, we put it up at the start. 2,000-1, the Ipswich to win the Championship, the Portsmouth to win League One, and Stockport to win League Two. That's narrowly missed, but I'll settle for the. I mean, the promotion treble was 56-1. So come on, the tractor boys. Nothing silly against Huddersfield. Just get that job done. I mean, Huddersfield. You hate Leeds. You're not going to want to try, are you? Surely not. Roll over, and hopefully Ipswich get promoted. Really fascinated by what's going on at the bottom of the Championship. Dan's already been through that. But, yeah, can't wait for it, Warren. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, cracking weekend ahead. So for myself and Mark, please enjoy your football, but also gamble responsibly. And make sure to like, subscribe and comment. And we'll be back, of course, with Bets Club again next weekend when we look ahead to the penultimate weekend of the Premier League season. Thanks for joining us this week.